This is another in a series of lectures which I've initiated to accompany the various special days on the Jewish calendar, beginning all the way back some months ago and continuing now with the major special days of Pesach, of Passover. And I've given a special title to this talk, which might provoke your curiosity. The title is, "The Synagogue is Not the Most Important Institution in the Jewish Religion." I've often made this statement to non-Jews, and even to many Jews who are quite familiar with Judaism. And they feel very challenged by the statement, what do you mean? I mean, surely the synagogue is what it's all about. And, of course, the synagogue is very, very important. And maintaining a base Knesset is very important. And praying in a base Knesset is very important, etc. But I don't think you can doubt the contention that it is not the most important institution in Judaism. Judaism has existed in certain communities and during certain periods of Jewish history without synagogues, and in an extreme situation could continue to exist and maybe even to thrive without synagogues around for whatever reason. However, there is another institution in Jewish life that is the most important and without which it is absolutely unimaginable that there could be Yiddishkeit, that there could be Judaism and a Jewish people. And that institution is the Jewish family. The Jewish family is where the action is from the Jewish religious point of view. And this is true historically. You can look back to the book of Genesis, to Sefer Bereishis, and you will see no mention, hardly even an allusion to anything like a synagogue. But you will find a lot of material about the Jewish family, about parents and children, about sibling rivalry, about love and hatred within the family, about families which get along and families which don't, about love between spouses and children, about hatred and competition and envy, all sorts of narratives about family life. And today, often I meet Jews who are very, very far from Jewish observance and from Jewish knowledge, but there seems to be one thing they know, and that is we are all a mishpocha. We are all a family. The Jewish people as a whole is more a family than a nation, more a family than a religion. I chose to discuss this topic as the major introductory lecture to the holiday of Pesach, because this is precisely what Pesach is all about. Pesach is all about the Jewish family. And I'd like to elaborate upon that theme. When the Jews were still in Egypt, preparing for the Exodus, preparing to leave, and they were told that as part of that preparation, they would have to bring a special type of korban, a special type of offering, a sacrificial offering. And that is, of course, the korban Pesach, the Pesach Mitzrayim, the sacrificial Pesach offering, which was a mitzvah yet in Egypt. And, of course, the day of Pesach, the holiday, is given its name, Pesach, because of this korban. And the korban Pesach is, was, and will be the central mitzvah, the central ritual commandment of the holiday of Passover. But this korban, unlike any other korban, this sacrifice, unlike all other sacrifices, had to be brought se leves avos se laboyes. Each family, each household brought its sheep. Each family, as a family unit, brought its korban, brought its sacrificial animal. And as a family, that animal or those parts of it which were permitted to be eaten were eaten. This is the central concept. Pesach is a holiday in which a sacrifice is brought, in which mitzvos are performed, but it's performed ideally within the family context. If for whatever reason it can't be done within the family, there are ways to do it, and to do it fully. But nevertheless, the ideal way, the definitional way, is selaves avos selabois, a sheep for a household, a sheep for a family. And this indeed was the history of the holiday of Pesach going down through all the generations. Families gathered, whether around a fire on a hillside, whether in a tent, whether in a primitive stone structure, whether in a luxurious apartment building, whether in a palace or whether in a hovel. Jews on the Leil Seder, on the night of the Seder, gather as a family, ideally grandparents, parents, and children. And the role of the parent is supreme in the Seder. It is the patriarch, the father, the grandfather who leads the Seder, who conducts the Seder. The text of the Seder focuses upon this. Kan Habein Shoel, the major part of the beginning of the Seder is for questions to be asked, but questions are asked by the child. Kan Habein Shoel, the son, the child, turns to his father and asks the question. And the question is answered, as the Gemara says, Kefi da'ato shel bein oviv milamdo. The father must respond to the child according to that child's level of intelligence. To a young child with simple talk, to an older child with more mature talk, to a sophisticated child with sophisticated talk, to a rebellious child with the proper verbal response. And that's why soon, near the beginning of the Seder, we speak of four sons. Four sons, because every family has its diversity. Every family has children going this way and that way and the other way. Children who are more and children who are less. Children who are taller and shorter. Children who are more religious and less religious. Children who are brighter and children who are not so bright. Children who ask and children who challenge. Children who scoff and children who mock. Children who believe piously and fervently. And children who act rebelliously. But children nonetheless, and this is the theme of the Seder from the very outset, the interaction between parent and child, the description of a family as being composed of a wide variety, many facets of humanity within the family. This is the setting for the Korban Pesach. What then is the role of the parent at the Seder night? And of course, his role is to answer the questions about the Exodus, about Yetzias Mitzrayim. His role is to teach about Yetzias Mitzrayim, to teach about how horrible slavery is, how wonderful true freedom is, how thankful we must be to a God who delivered us from slavery once in the time of Mitzrayim and many, many times throughout history. What our obligations are to such a gracious and providential God. Everything that's Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim. And to go on and on, V'chol Hamar B'Lesaper B'Yetzias Mitzrayim, the more that the father, that the parents do to discuss the topic, the broad topic of Exodus from Egypt, Harei Zeh Meshubach, the better that is. However, when one goes to a Seder these days, here it is in the 21st century. It's interesting. First of all, many, many times, certainly in families where the parents are somewhat ignorant of Judaism, but the children are fortunate enough to have a Jewish education, it's not the parents who teach the children, but quite the contrary, the children who teach the parents. And even in more learned homes, every child goes away to a yeshiva, studies in his day school, learns all sorts of stuff, and usually comes to the Seder with a thick notebook of teachings. And we listen to him, and the child is fully briefed about Yetzias Mitzrayim. The father's only role seems to be to listen. The mother's only role seems to be to sit there and shep nachas and gain pride from her wonderful children and grandchildren. But what about the active teaching role of the parents? Where does that occur in the current context? Does it occur only in reciting the Haggadah, in explaining and expounding the Haggadah, in providing extra material and perhaps personal interpretations of the Haggadah, for sure. But there's something else that a parent must always be doing, whether he or she is teaching about the Exodus from Mitzrayim at the Seder, or whether it's a plain Tuesday night in the middle of Teves around the dinner table, or whether it's any interaction between parents and children. Parents must be teachers. That's the central lesson of the whole Seder. Parents must be teachers. What must they teach? What should parents be teaching children? What should Jewish parents be teaching Jewish children? And here I want to refer to an astounding essay by a true expert on Jewish education, Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch. Rabbi Hirsch is dead now 130, 140 years. But he had such a brilliant system of Jewish education and of understanding the process of Jewish education, and one that is so relevant even during the 100 and some years since his death, that it sometimes, I read his works and I think, this man is either a prophet or somehow he is a contemporary of the 21st century who happened to have lived and died in the 19th century. But there's so much that he has to say that's right on the money, not just for 19th century Frankfurt, Germany, but for 21st century, you name it, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, London, Jerusalem, 2007. In one of his essays, which is reprinted in a precious book that I own called Yesodos HaChinuch, Foundations of Education, which is a collection of his essays. There's an essay, now of course Hirsch wrote in German, and this is a Hebrew translation. The Hebrew translation reads, is entitled, Shituf Pu'ula Bein HaHorim U'Beit HaSefer, the joint venture, the partnership between parents and the school. And the point that Hirsch makes, the main point is, that there are certain things which simply cannot be taught in school and must be taught in the home, must be taught by the parents. And I want to apply this in this lecture to what happens at the Seder. A lot of what is taught at the Seder is stuff that can be learned in school and usually is learned in school. If our children are attending Jewish schools of whatever stripe or type, they're coming to this Seder very, very knowledgeable, very well educated about Yetzias Mitzrayim, but in the manner in which schools can teach. They will learn the scriptural texts, the psukim in Parshas Bo, or wherever else the psukim are, Parshas Re'eh, about the about Pesach. They will learn the Rashi and the Ramban about those psukim. They will learn the Mishnayos Meseches Psukim. They will learn the Talmud Meseches Psukim. They will learn the Haggadah Shel Pesach and all of its dozens, hundreds of commentaries, old and new. That's all stuff you can learn in school. But there's stuff that you can only learn in the home, that only parents can teach. And that also has to be a part of the Seder and a part of the Jewish family experience in general. And let me share with you some of what the Rav Hirsch has to say. Rav Hirsch says that there are two functions of education. One he calls, and again it's the Hebrew translated from the German, Haknayat Haskala Ruchanit Umusorit, the acquisition of a spiritual and ethical intelligence, number one. And number two, Tipuach Haratzon Lemilui Hadrishot Hamusriot Al Yedei HaChinuch, the development of the will, the wish, the attitude toward matters which are spiritual or ethical. These are the two functions of education. Of these two functions, pure education, text, facts, knowledge, Chumash, Rashi, Gemara, Mishnayos, Shulchan Aruch, the text of the Haggadah Shel Pesach, that's for the school. But the attitude, the inner emotion, the sense of respect and awe, the appreciation of ethics, the granting and the experiencing of spirituality. That's for the home. That's for parents to do. The school can't do that. As Rav Hirsch writes, the Beit HaSefer Sham Chaserim Rov HaTnaim Ha'ela. The school lacks the conditions necessary to teach spirituality, to teach ethics, to teach proper attitudes, to teach proper social relationships. Yosher v'ne'emanut einam begeder yeda. Yosher, doing things properly and fairly, v'ne'emanut, and faithfulness, being faithful, being loyal, this is not knowledge which can be taught in school, but rather these are segulot nafshiot. These are psychological characteristics which can only be taught in the context of the home. Beit haHorim hu hamakom hamatim biyoter. The home where the parents are is the most appropriate place. Lahargil ula amein et hayeled, to accustom and to train the child. B'chol ha'protim ha'nogi'im l'chovot ha'musriot, with regards to all of the details which are necessary for ethical obligations. B'yod she'bevet ha'sefer kayemet efsharut mitzumtzemet ma'od l'tirgul kaseh. The school is very limited in its ability to accustom and train the child to an appreciation of the inner meaning, the deeper meaning, the ethical meaning, the spiritual overlay that must be part of the Jewish experience. And then Rav Hirsch gives a list of what needs to be taught in the home. And this is the list to consider as we approach the Seder. And as parents, we prepare for the Seder. And we will all prepare maybe a nice thought, an interesting historical narrative, a gute pshat, an interesting halacha. That's fine. But within that context, we also have to pay attention to Rav Hirsch's curriculum for what parents should be teaching children in the Seder and every other night of the year. And here's his curriculum. Rak b'chug habayit nitan l'tapeach et hamidot ha'tovot. It is only in the circle of the home that it's possible to develop proper midot, proper character. Kagon. Ahavat ha'emet, love for truth. This is something that has to be taught in the home. I want you to know that even though we have a common practice of the Afikoman, of stealing the Afikoman, there were those who protested against emphasizing this game of stealing the Afikoman because maybe it did not properly teach truth. To properly teach honesty. There was making a game out of something which is dead serious, respecting the property and the rights of others. But it's a game, and we do it for all sorts of reasons. But we have to teach ahavat emet, respect and love for the truth. Ha'arachat ha'tzedek, to value, to appreciate tzedek, righteousness. Achvat Reim, to appreciate brotherhood, how important it is within the context of the Seder to reach out to others, to include brothers, to perhaps reach out to alienated members of the family, to people who are spiritually distant from us, or in the narratives of the Seder to connect to Jews in other regions of the world, of other subcultures of Judaism, in other times and in other places, in order to establish the fact that we are all one, achvat reim, gemilus chasodim. If we don't teach within the context of the Seder the importance of being compassionate to others, we have missed the boat. In the first siman of the Shulchan Aruch, before anything is said about the Seder, about matzah, about yayin, about anything else, we are told, make sure we give ma'uschitim, make sure we give money to support the poor people who may not be able to afford Pesach. This has to be part of the learning experience of Pesach, which parents must underscore. Vatranut. Parents must teach their children to yield. And that can be done around the table so easily. There's one beautiful piece of meat and that's burnt exactly, cooked exactly the way this, everybody likes it. But there's only one. Teach the child to yield to someone else. yield to someone more needy, yield to some other sibling, yield to a parent. Yielding to others, not saying, I've got to have it. It's something you can do easily in the context of the Seder. Salchanut, forgiveness. Forgiveness is such an important quality, and it has to be taught within the family. Only parents can teach their children to be forgiving. That's not a lesson you learn in school. And you've got to find ways, and the Seder offers opportunities to teach forgiveness. Anova, humility, most important perhaps of all qualities, something that parents can teach, teachers cannot. You can't learn humility in a formal classroom setting. You can only learn it within the family context by observing your parents as models, by learning the lesson of the value of humility. Hishtapkut b'muot, being satisfied with a little, not gloating upon luxury. Yes, the Seder should be set with beautiful silver and beautiful linen, and it should really be a kingly table. But there is still the lesson to be learned, that this is for a reason. This is for the Seder. This is Hidur Mitzvah. This is not just luxury for luxury's sake. This is not just affluence and ostentatiousness. This is a way of celebrating, but the basic Jewish value is Hishtapkut b'muot, to be satisfied with a little. Hakpada b'milui chova. Only parents can teach the importance of fulfilling one's obligations. How important it is to fulfill obligations, how important it is to have obligations. Every child must have his or her duties, tasks, chores, responsibilities. And parents must see to it that these responsibilities are defined. Veregesh simcha al milui chova b'shleimut. And parents must teach children how to rejoice when they fulfill their responsibilities. How, when a job is done and when a job is well done, that's the occasion for joy and happiness. And perhaps that's the true meaning of a simcha, of the joy of Yom Tov. Because on Yom Tov, we come into a Yom Tov feeling we have done all that we had to do. We have prepared for Pesach. We are ready. We have eliminated the chametz. We have acquired the matzah, the yayin, and the moror, and the charoses, and we're ready. We've studied about the Haggadah Shel Pesach. We've studied the halachos, the rules and the laws of Pesach. We are ready for Pesach. We've done everything we have to do. Okay, job well done. That's simcha. That's simchas Yom Tov. All of these lessons are lessons which must be taught, and these aren't lessons you're going to find in any code book or any law book or any rule book. These are the lessons, the human lessons which parents must teach children and can teach children. And so when I say that the synagogue is not the most important Jewish institution, surely not. The synagogue is necessary for prayer. The synagogue is necessary in some situations for Torah study, but the synagogue is not where you're going to learn how to appreciate truth and fairness and brotherly love and forgiveness and humility and to be glad and happy about one's achievements in life. Those are to be learned in the family. And that's what makes for a people. That's what makes for a family. That's what makes for a nation. That's what makes for a Jewish nation. The family is the most important institution. And the Pesach is, Seder of Pesach is nothing else than a context for families to grow, to develop, to thrive, to learn, and to teach. And with those sentiments in mind, I wish each and every one of you who listens to this lecture a Chag Kasher V'Sameach, a kosher and happy, happy holiday.